Radio.
Exploring feminism and technology through space and time.
So I've been following the radio and that, the radio development in many senses, but in one way as a consumer.
Okay. How,
because I had the radio and I had the specific, maybe I didn't know about it, but I've been reflecting on it later on that I had this, I think so many people have this specific personal relation to the radio, and then it's been changing together with the technology changes.
Yeah.
From the very big ones.
So where did your relationship with the radio begin?
I think it did begin when I was looking into, we had a huge, like a huge furniture that was the radio, and I remember I was looking through a little glints in the, or what do you call it, a little strip or an open thing in the, in a little door in that thing, and I thought that people were sitting inside there to talk. So that was my first, I have like an image of me sitting and trying to see the people inside the radio. And then from then on, yeah, well. It was my first recording equipment too, because I got a cassette player at one time, which also, I bought it because of the radio, but it also had this possibility to record.
Onto cassette tape? Okay.
Tape, yeah. So that was also an important part, you know.
And there you go. We don't go all the way. When did you feel like you started making radio art?
In the 80s, I started to experiment with sound, and I had this four-track recorder, which was amazing, because then I could suddenly start to experiment and to make my own sound. Before that, I was playing in a band and doing other things, but just this four-track made me able to put many sounds on top of each other, and also play it in another way. And that led me into doing a theater performance collaboration with some other people. And we went to Krakow. And there I think maybe it was even before. I'm not quite sure of the
timeline.
Yeah, the timeline exactly there. But I brought some cassettes, and then I started to record radio at one point in that period with the theater as well. I worked mm-hmm. with the theater, and then I got completely hooked, actually. So the first installation I did on my own was in 98.
Wow.
And that was four radios on strings in the woods outside Bergen. Four cassette players actually in the woods, and they were playing like a one composition. So it was actually a spatial work as well, without me really reflecting on that either. But
mm-hmm.
it was these four radios, and they hung there in October for a month between in the forest. And then the radio, or there was a kind of a composition. I recorded signals, like medium wave signals, and I recorded it from my studio in Bergen, which is close to the sea, so I had a long antenna, and just, it's like fishing. I got in these different beautiful sounds, and I just started to play them. There was I recorded the world news, and I searched up, this was the AM or the medium wave signal. So I searched up many stations and tried to find if there was a common thing they were talking about, like common news. And that became a piece. So it's an experimental stage. It was fun to work with it.
Okay. So was there a common theme?
Yeah, there was a couple of common themes that I remember now. And one was actually the Monica Lewinsky scandal.
Oh, okay.
And there were, it was, it felt like it was a lot of gossip in the ether somehow. Yeah. Have you heard? Wow, yeah, you know. And there were a lot of discussions. And the other one that I remember, also because I have the recordings, was that Primakov was becoming a prime minister in Russia. So that was also something that we were talking about on many stations in mm-hmm. several different languages. And you can hear the yeah, Lewinsky, it was easy to defect.
How do you use this medium of sound to kind of transform spaces, transform time?
One of the things I do, I think I convert it through myself, so it's a kind of a personal filter.
Yes.
And I really like to distribute the sound back to the radios, so it's some kind of a, I record it, I let it go through me, and I give it back to the radios again. Lately I've been also working quite a lot with FM transmission, like local FM, so I've been sending this radio back to the radios, but then I have converted into my personal way of treating the material.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting with the news, because they are really, as you say, they are really time frames, but in a way I freeze them, because then they are giving back to a space and they stay there for a long time. So it's a little bit like photography in a way. That you do that.
Take a snapshot.
Yeah, take a snapshot and then you keep it. So, but the in the ether, the signals keep running. I mean, the signals, they keep changing.
Yeah.
So the signals, many years ago, they are not there anymore, but I remember them. You remember them, I'm sure. If I ask you what the modem signal, do you have any reference to modem?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
But it's not there anymore.
No.
So I think it's a lot of these. And now maybe we are dealing with glitches in dub, like, you know, the digital cuts.
Yeah.
I don't know. So maybe one day we find that also very beautiful. So it's something very interesting about this, the memory and what happens when it's not there or when it's there. If we like it or don't like it, or whether it is actually the time who's, because we also experience nice things or bad things connected to that soundscape.
Yes.
And then we have moved to another place and these sounds are not there anymore. So does it have anything to say? What kind of impact does it have to us? I'm interested in that.
Yes. Me too.
Yeah.
รอบพิเศษบ่าย 2 ถ้าใครยังพลาดรอบแรกไปก็บอกว่ารอบ2ที่เล่นบ่าย2โมงนี่ก็ซื้อบัตรกันได้แล้วนะครับตามสถานที่เดิม
Norway's first country to turn off the FM transmission, which just seems so wild to me. I had no idea about that before. But then, so what do you think can be kind of found in this void of frequencies, or do you have any speculation for what will kind of replace it? What's next, or is there a post radio?
Yeah, I don't really like to think about that. I think it is, I mean, the radio will the radio is very, very strong. I mean, the radio has just converted all the time.
Yeah,
and it still does. Podcasts, for instance.
Yeah.
I think the radio is really strong today too. But the physical waves that it exists in changes, definitely. Mm-hmm. And I really like this physical aspect of the radio, so I'm not so happy about that. And I think it's kind of a shame in a way also, because we have to throw away all these radios and get some new. And this is also a crazy thing when we at the same time try to save the world and try to be ecologic. And this is some very contradictory things.
At the same time, everything just becomes obsolete and you have to replace it.
Yeah. But I'm not so worried about the radio in itself. I think that will be really... And I think it's very exciting what's happening now, too, with all this independent... More visual. To me, it's more audio. It's easier to reach now, mm-hmm. also, because it hasn't been so many around where I live. It's because of the internet and because of the digital, it's also getting more accessible. I can hear more and I know more about what's going on around mm-hmm. in the radio.
Yeah.
But it has so many different sides, because it's also wonderful with that non-demand. I don't know what you call it, when you cannot choose yourself, you just have to listen into the radio it is. That has some really strong value, I think.
But I don't know that it exists anywhere anymore. Everything is on demand.
yeah. But maybe that also could... I think there is some who's doing that consciously, who want that as a statement that you cannot... It's going to disappear, so you have to be there now. So even if it's... it's definitely possible to do both.
Mm-hmm.
But I like it.
Yeah.
One way.
Well, a sound installation or performance is a be there now, experience this right now.
That's true.
Together.
That's true.
With other people.
And it's very sad to take it down.
The last day of an installation.
Oh,
it's very
God.
Sad.
No kidding.
Now it's gone.
It's over.
But on the other hand, that's the nature of that. But that's true. That's a temporal
everything
thing. And if you wasn't there, you could see some, you can see some picture of it or some video or some, but it's not the work.
Yeah.
You were not there.
It's exactly.
Just more a picture of it,
You didn't experience it.
Yeah, which is a big difference. And I think that's still wonderful to work with spaces, to inhabit a space and try to tune it somehow, as you talk about. To tune a space and tune to see what's there, what the response is, and what history has been in that space before, and if there is something to link up to.
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
And then, like, bodies in the space, and as you say, you take the radio, the sound, put it through yourself, and then kind of give it back. So I wonder what you think about sound and embodiment.
I mean, the sound is very strong. It's physical, definitely.
Yeah.
But it also has this, for instance, if we go back to the radios again, if you think about the different voices, they also inhabit us somehow. I mean, it's the physical voice just as much as the content that is coming into my presence or my system.
Yeah.
Also, and I find that also very interesting or attractive. Let's say I've been listening to a radio program for a while and I don't know what that person looked like. And then suddenly I hear the voice behind me, you know? Like, it can happen. And that is also something I really like that, that we don't know this person, but it's very physical.
Totally.
I mean, it's the materiality of the voice who's getting in somehow. And sometimes I can hear the similar voice in an uncle of my husband. He had a very special voice, and I heard that in several others on the radio. And then you have this link between people you don't even know what looked like, so it's just the character of the voice. And when I've been working with this
radio material, and I really like to the voices and languages without actually understanding the content so much.
Right.
And that's also this, yeah, the physicality in a way of the presence of the voice, which make me also pick this voice instead of this voice. And
yeah, I wanted to ask you just like, yeah, about kind of sound beyond meaning. Like, what is it that, what's the value when you can, you know, of a voice if you can't understand the words? Or can sound kind of transform this idea of meaning to you?
Yeah, absolutely. And it also operates on several levels, because it's also operating on that non-verbal level, which is definitely very important, mm-hmm. and which has yeah, it connects with other parts or other senses. It's just necessary. I mean, we refer like that to music, and that's obvious. You don't ask for what does it mean. You just take it in.
Yes.
And I think that's the same. To me, that is the same with voices. Of course, there's difference. I mean, if I listen to a radio program, I want to hear the content.
Mm-hmm.
But the way I work, I'm interested in the voices in another, on another level. And also, but also my works need the content. So I'm searching for quite narrow topics when I work. And that's also for me to learn and understand what I'm doing. I would use the voices as instruments or sound fragments for a composition,
mm-hmm.
and listening to other things than the content. But so the contents to me in my work comes in as like an overarching how, what I'm looking for when I'm working.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, the Meanwhile in Shanghai is a work I've been working with during some years. And it started with me recording FM when I was out traveling. And I found many places I was have been with my work, and I haven't maybe understood the language. So I've been tuning into the radio maybe 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock, and then I record the time information. And I also always know that even if I don't understand what's said, I hear the time signal, and then I hear a voice, and I know that this is the, I mean, now the time comes, and then the news. And I've been interested, so I've been using that as a starting point for a work which is related to time and place on the radio.
Tonight at 6:30, 7:30 Atlantic, 8 in Newfoundland.
Klokka 14:06,
21:03,
Usk and Kashmir.
And when I started with that, it was, I have a lot of these recordings with time is now 7 o'clock, there and there. And but this had disappeared more and more. I mean, we don't relate to radio the same way anymore. But it has it happened while I was working with it, and that became a work. While collecting this and just putting it into an archive, I thought that, and now is the time to use it.
Oh, it's fascinating that you're creating your own archives. You know it's going to become obsolete, so that this is going to be important to look back at.
Yeah, I get aware of it while working, actually. That has happened several times.
Okay, so it's not like necessarily like inherent when you go into it, but once you start, you realize.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. And it, because it also happens very fast.
So, who owns the sound?
Oh, that's a good question. I do, I would say. And I've never come into that situation. Like now, for instance, with the recording of the archive of Deutsche Welle, they gave me access. So yeah. I was allowed to use all the work. But I don't know who had been talking, and it would be nice to meet these people, but it's hundreds, you know?
rispettivamente una frequenza del 6.75 kHz.
But yeah, definitely it wouldn't be put together that way by anybody else, because it's I did it.
Yes.
So I feel free to use this as my own sound material.
And it's so vast, the way radio becomes almost like wind or rain or birds chirping. It's field recording of this environment that has been part of our sonic environment for so long.
Another thing I really like with the radio, not as a digital, or it could be digital too, but the radio as objects, is that you find them everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this one in the kitchen, one at the bathroom, one here, one there, which also gives it a completely different reverb and things like that. And that's not so exciting with a little computer or a little telephone or something like that. Or I think we also use headphones a lot.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Carl Schultz speaking to you from Cologne, Germany.
De un nuevo telón de acero que cae en medio de la dividida capital alemana. Los propagandistas comunistas de Berlín Oriental festejan la erección de las rigurosas medidas con una mezcla de cinismo y de sádica alegría.
This is Carl Schultz speaking to you from Cologne, Germany.
What are you working on now?
At the moment, I just here in, we have just met a very nice artist who's called Anton Katz, and we will work together on a radio piece in Bergen in a month.
Okay.
Possible to take one project and then go a little step further to look at the next one and try to develop that. I like to work that way.
It's, I think it's a good way to continue to build on.
Yeah. Learn on the way.
Yeah, so this 40 channel installation, then converting it into a 50 minute radio piece. What did you learn through that, or how did you experience it differently?
The initial commission was to create a piece for 40 channel, or that was my idea actually. It was a work in public space, in a passage in Bonn, in Germany. And because I had all these languages, I was interested in giving each speaker a voice, or one language. So I had 31 speakers that had assigned one language each.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had 5 speakers who were giving out more radio-specific or radiophonic sounds, like cracking and time pip. And then there was, in the roof, there was more atmospheric sounds, and they changed over the day. So they were started with high pitch in the morning, and then they were down, and in the evening there was quite the bassy drone hanging in the roof.
Nice.
But so that was, so all the sounds that were assigned to the space, and that was very exciting to work like that, and to me quite logic. And then this passage is about 70 meters long, so it's
it was very much about coloring the space and give the energy from the radio and the atmosphere from the radio into that passage. So the next, when that was up running, and then I got this commission to make it into a stereo, and I had, it was a very, very big difference. So it was a completely other way of thinking, because I didn't have that big space anymore. I didn't have one speaker for each language, and if I would play these 40 speakers through a stereo, it would sound like a cluster and not very interesting. So I started in a way over again, but kept the structure of developing, starting with one language, as I'm following the timeline of the development of how, when the different languages came into to the ether from Deutsche Welle. And then I add, because it's so many beautiful languages, I just add them, but it's a completely other way. So there becomes a, instead of having this long row of speakers, it becomes a dialogue within these different languages. So the Arab is speaking in a way with the Italian, or the Chinese is coming further, much later in the timeline, because so it's completely other way of composing.
Do you feel like anything was like lost or gained?
No, it was like assigning two completely different spaces. So it was just like two different site-specific works, I would say. Yeah, and the one is for this big space and for a person moving through it. And the other one is for a person sitting still and having his head as the space in a way. So completely, or another thing that I really like to think about is that the second one, the stereo one for radio, is I lose control, so I give it away. So I don't know where it will be played. So, okay, I would like if people hear it on headphones, because it is in a way distributed, so it will work on headphones. But on the other hand, the radio can be everywhere. So, and I really like that. That's a nice thing to think about. That now it's out there somewhere in a lot of radios, if I'm lucky, or in some computers and some headsets. And it's not up to me to decide what the space is.
You lose some control over your listener.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
I think that's nice. And that's a nice thing with the radio, I think. And it was very nice to listen to it, because I was it was launched online on FM.
Yes.
So I was in my own living room tuning into my own work, and that was quite funny.
How did it feel with the resonance of the room that you were in?
Strange.
Apenas de até 10 anos de prisão, anunciou que vai dar entrada com recurso junto ao Tribunal Supremo de Angola. Em declarações à agência Luz, o advogado
Salvador Freire.
Yeah,
καθυστέρηση καταγράφεται στη διαδικασία υλοποίησης της.
Polo and Pan Cyclorama Tour. Polo and Pan. December.